بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين، يقص الحق وهو خير الفاصلين، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمد عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. وسجدوا الشريف، اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. This is our 44th session on our series Islam's Greatest Personalities, and today inshallah we will be discussing the story of Prophet Daniel alayhi salam and Prophet Hizqiel alayhi salam. Both are prophets which we have, most of us have probably never heard about. Some of us probably didn't even know that they were prophets. And if you've maybe heard their name, you might not know anything about them. And that's not surprising, because there's not much mentioned in regards to them. Whatever there is, inshallah, I will try and share in the time that we have together. So we're talking about two, we've not done this before, but we're talking about two prophets. And the reason we're able to speak about two prophets is because, like I said, there's not much mentioned in regards to them. But the reason we are speaking about them is there is some sort of mention, and there is evidence to show that there were prophets from amongst the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So two prophets we're going to speak about. The first one is Prophet Daniel alayhi salam and Prophet Hizqiel alayhi salam. So we'll take Prophet Daniel alayhi salam first, and then we'll go into the story of Prophet Hizqiel alayhi salam. Now, when we look at the story of Prophet Daniel alayhi salam, we're going to mention two stories in particular. So the Quran does not make any mention of Prophet Daniel alayhi salam, and the authentic hadith does not make mention of Daniel alayhi salam. There is mention of Daniel alayhi salam in a narration. However, I don't think it's authentic, but there's no clear mention in the Quran at all. Regarding Hizqiel alayhi salam, there is an incident in the Quran which refers to Hizqiel alayhi salam, and we'll come to that in a moment. His name is not mentioned, but the incident, Allah speaks about the Prophet, and that is the Prophet it's being referred to according to the scholars of the Quran. So regarding Prophet Daniel alayhi salam, there is a lot of things mentioned in the books of tarikh, in the books of history, and most of it is not reliable. Majority of it, we cannot rely upon it. And what we do have is a few narrations here and there. And the thing is, in regards to these narrations, historic narrations, there are great scholars, even those who have been very, very strict and known to have a very hardline approach, like Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, for example, Ibn al-Qayyim, for example, even they have accepted these incidents and said that, yes, Daniel alayhi salam was a prophet, and these are narrations that have been mentioned in regards to him, and we accept them. So what we will discuss will be something that has been accepted by a lot of the scholars, and it's not something that's just, you know, like a fairy tale or mentioned just by the Israeliyat only. This has been approved by our great scholars as well. So first of all, let's take the example of Daniel alayhi salam. So Hafiz Ibn Kathir rahimahullah has made mention of this in his famous book Al-Bidayah wa Nihaya, from the beginning to the end, in which he speaks about the tarikh of the world from Adam alayhi salam all the way till his time. And he put this in a huge compilation of this, and he called it Al-Bidayah wa Nihaya, from the beginning to the end. Very interesting compilation. So in there he mentions a narration, and other scholars have also narrated as well. What have they narrated? They have narrated a narration And they mentioned a Sahabi, Abu Burda ibn Abi Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu. So he says that the narrator is saying that I saw in the hand of Abu Burda ibn Abi Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu ta'ala anhu a ring. So I saw it, he was wearing a ring. And Naqshun, and on the ring he saw that the stone of the ring, it had an imprint. He had an engraving, had an imprint, and he describes the imprint. So he said the imprint on the ring of this Sahabi, there were two lions. So there was an image of two lions on the actual the stone, two lions, and between the lion there was a man. And you could see the imprint on the ring of this Sahabi, that two lions, and in the middle there is a man, and the lions are licking the man. And this is the imprint on the ring, on the hand of this Sahabi. So, Abu Burda then went on to say that this ring belongs to the man who had passed away, and the people of that city referred to him as Prophet Daniel alayhi salam. Now we'll go into the detail of what happened. So Abu Burda says that Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, who was a great Sahabi, let me give you the backstory of what happens. So the way this happens is, there was amongst the Israelites, amongst the Bani Israel, majority of the scholars are of the opinion that this incident takes place between Prophet Dawud and Suleiman alayhi salam and Prophet Zakaria. So before Zakaria alayhi salam and after the time of Dawud and Suleiman alayhi salam. Although we're mentioning it before, because next week we'll be going to speaking about Prophet Dawud alayhi salam, but majority of the scholars believe that this incident took place between the time of Dawud and Suleiman alayhi salam and before the time of Zakaria alayhi salam. We're coming to the end of the chain of prophets, if you think about it, because you've got Zakaria, then you've got Yahya, then Isa alayhi salam, and then we have the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, what happens is, amongst the Bani Israel, there was a person, or there were two people called Daniel, and they're referred to as the Daniel the Great and Daniel the younger one. So, what happens is, Quran speaks about an incident, and it refers to the Bani Israel. We find it in the 15th Juz. لَتُفْسِدُنَّ فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَّتَيْنِ وَلَتَعْلُنَّ عُلُوًا كَبِيرًا. It speaks about how the Bani Israel will become corrupt. And because of their corruption, two times there will be mass corruption taking place and destruction. And Allah will send certain people to destroy and annihilate Jerusalem, Baytul Maqdis, and that whole area and land. And this happened in history, we believe. And one of the times, it was the Babylonian, and historically this is mentioned as well. I mean, the whole world believes in this. So it's not just an Islamic narrative, the whole world believes in the Babylonian king who came from Iraq, and there was a huge, huge massacre. And his name is Nebuchadnezzar. In our books of Tariq, he's called Bukhtunasar, where he came and he destroyed and annihilated Jerusalem. He destroyed and annihilated Masjid al-Aqsa, Baytul Maqdis, and he took the people, the Israelites, as prisoners, and he took them all the way to Iraq. And this is well documented, and you know, we read the documents in the books of history as well, throughout the world. So this Babylonian captivity that the Israelites went into, so from amongst the people that were captured from Jerusalem, one of them was Daniel alayhi salam. Now what happens is, after these people have all been held as captive and taken as prisoners to Iraq, and there was a lot of bloodshed, he destroyed, and Quran makes reference to this, he destroyed the whole of the city, totally annihilated it. Nebuchadnezzar, he was a ruler who ruled possibly almost all of the world. He was the Babylonian king, but he had a vast kingdom, very powerful. And when, after destroying all of this, when he came back to his palace and he was in Babylon, in Iraq, the astronomers came to him, the fortune tellers came to him, the ulama and the scholars who were around him came to him, and they said that we've been shown a vision, and he'd seen a dream as well. and the vision that we saw, that Allah is going to destroy you on the hands of a young man from amongst the Israelites, from the Bani Israel. So this made him angry, and he said that, I'm not going to let anybody live from amongst them. And at that time, one of the younger people were Daniel. He was one of the young people from amongst the Israelites. And as a result of this dream and this, the astronomers having this vision and him being given this news, Nebuchadnezzar, he took Daniel and he threw him into the lion's den. He threw him into the lion's den, and he ensured that these lions were kept hungry for many, many days. So the lions had been kept hungry for many days, and he threw him inside, and then afterwards he released the lions upon him. And upon releasing the lions upon him, what happens is the lions approached him, but they did not attack him. Instead, they began to lick him, as if they were very friendly, as if they were very tame, and there was no impact on Daniel alayhi salam as a result of releasing these lions. And this was something great to witness. And even Nebuchadnezzar was taken aback that, how can this happen? Who must this person be? Later on the other side in Jerusalem, there is another prophet. Prophet Aramiyah alayhi salam. In English, we say Jeremiah. Aramiyah, the books of Tafsir mention, a Nabi called Aramiyah alayhi salam. Allah inspired him and told him that you need to take some food, prepare some food, and take it to Nabi Daniel alayhi salam. Aramiyah said, oh Allah, I am in Baytul Maqdis in Jerusalem, and Daniel is in Iraq, in Babel. How can I go there? Allah said, your job is to prepare. We will take you there, don't worry. And Daniel alayhi salam is in the lion's den. There's nobody else there. He's surrounded by these lions. The lions aren't harming him whatsoever. And when Aramiyah alayhi salam arrives, and he calls out to Daniel alayhi salam, at that time there's a famous statement of Daniel alayhi salam that, subhanallah, Allah is the one who never forgets anybody. I'm in the bottom of this well, in the pit with the lions. I remembered Allah, and Allah remembers me. Allah is the one who feeds me. And Allah does not reject anybody who calls upon him. Anybody that calls upon Allah, Allah always responds. So he was then saved. And the story continues in regards to Daniel alayhi salam. So this is one thing where the Sahabi, so that's a past history that took place amongst the Bani Israel, the Nebuchadnezzar. Now fast forward, at the time of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, an interesting incident takes place. When the Sahaba radiallahu anhu arrived in a place called Tustur, between Iraq and Iran, at that time when they were conquering that particular area, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum came across the treasury of the greatest minister at the time, whose name was Hormuzan. You read regarding Hormuzan in history. Hormuzan was the military commander at the time of Persia. So when they captured these lands, and when they conquered these lands, when they came to the treasury of Hormuzan, in the treasury of Hormuzan, alongside all the rest of the treasures, they found Sahaba, these are Sahaba at the time of Umar radiallahu anhu, they found on top of all the treasury, they found somebody's body at the top. So somebody had passed away, and they found that he was lying on top of the treasury. And when the Sahaba inquired from the local people, who is this? They say, whenever we have drought, there is famine, we are going through difficult times. Although these people were fire worshippers, they didn't believe in Allah. But they say, whenever our people, our communities face a drought or any natural disaster, what we do, we carry the body of this saintly person out into the open, and Allah takes away the drought. When the rain stops, we take the body out of this saintly person and the rain starts to come. Whenever we face any difficulty, even if we go in battle, if we carry the body of this saintly person, Allah grants us victory. So, upon inquiring, they said, who is this? They said, this is a saintly person. His name is Daniel. He passed away many hundreds of years ago. So this is Prophet Daniel alayhi salam. And next to him, the narrations mentioned there was a mushaf, meaning there was a book, a scripture. And when they opened it, they started reading. And they found that, so that one Sahabi, a Tabi'i, is asking the Sahabi what was written in there. He says, what we did was, as soon as we opened this, we had to send it to Amirul Mu'mineen, Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. When we sent it to Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says that what was written in there? He says, when we read it, what was written in there, it has details about you people, how you people will be, meaning the Ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It described your people, it described your condition, it described your circumstances, things are going to, that are going to happen before the end of times, and how this last Ummah is going to be. That was detailed in that particular book of Daniel alayhi salam. And the Sahabi, this is where he found that ring. Where he found that ring there, and he left everything else and he took that ring, and he had that ring with him. And this is the ring that the hadith mentions, where he had the picture and the engraving of two lines. So Daniel alayhi salam actually made that ring himself, where in the middle that was himself and the two lions, to always remind him of the blessing and the favor of Allah, that Allah protected him at the most difficult and challenging time, so that he never forgets the mercy and the protection of Allah and his favor. He made this ring as a reminder. So this is what has been mentioned in the books of Tafsir, in the books of Tarikh, and this is something that our scholars have mentioned and have accepted and approved. Remember, on one side we've been speaking about the narrations that we take from biblical sources and the Israelites, Isla'iliyat, and we say we have to be very careful. On the other side, there is a hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, حَدِّثُوا عَنْ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ وَلَا حَرَجٍ. You can narrate from the Bani Israel, there's no problem with it. But the rule is this, if it's not going against the Quran, if it's not going against the hadith, then it's fine. So we don't have any Quranic verse that speaks about this. There's no hadith that speaks about this. It's not going against anything. It's not saying anything inappropriate about any of the prophets. So our scholars, including scholars like Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, who normally have a very hardline approach, they have accepted these narrations. And they have said, yes, we accept. These are the stories mentioned. We take them as they are regarding Prophet Daniel alayhi salam and Sahab. So when Umar radiallahu ta'ala found out that there is one of the prophets, he instructed the Sahaba, he sent a letter to them, dig 13 graves. How many graves? 13. So dig 13 graves, and by morning I want you to have buried Daniel alayhi salam in one of those graves, and then flatten them all. And he did this so that nobody finds out which grave he is buried in, because he knew that this will lead to fitna. Because they had a practice that whenever they would face calamities, they would take out the body and they would use the body, and he feared that people will start worshipping a prophet or the grave of a prophet, so that people become away from this. He said that dig 13 graves and bury him in one of them, and then flatten all of the graves so nobody finds out regarding the burial place of Prophet Daniel alayhi salam. So these are some of the things that have been mentioned in regards to him. Now regarding Daniel alayhi salam, again Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he narrates from a tabi'i, Abu al-Aliyah, who says that Daniel alayhi salam, when they found him, when Sahaba found him, they found some of the scriptures that were with him. In there, he had prophesied the coming of Isa alayhi salam, and also the coming of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by name. By name, he had mentioned Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by name, and it informed the people that a prophet is going to come. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala also wrote to the Sahaba saying that if he is a prophet, then the system is that the earth does not eat away at the body of the prophets. The earth cannot eat the body of the prophets. Animals cannot eat away at the body of the prophets. So go and have a look and see if his body entirely intact. If it is, then this is the body of a Nabi. And they went and they checked from head to toe. His body was fresh as anything. It had been hundreds of years since he passed away, but his body was totally intact. The only area where they found that it was slightly decomposed was some of the hair on the back. Some of the hair on the back, and of course, if you're lying down and it's touching the ground, but besides that, everything was as if that this person is still awake. That's how it seemed when they saw the body of Prophet Daniel, alayhi salam. And there is actually a narration, which, again, I'm not exactly sure regarding the authenticity. I believe it's not authentic. But there is a narration that says something like this, that man dalla ala qabri Daniel fabashirhu bil jannah. Whoever shows you the way to the grave of Daniel alayhi salam, give good news to that person of paradise. So when the Sahaba found out, Umar radiallahu said them that this is something the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam had mentioned, and there was a man, his name was Qurqus, and he is the one who showed them the grave of Prophet Daniel alayhi salam, wherever he was laid to rest, and they relayed this information to him. Now a question arises over here is Daniel, the name Daniel, what does it mean? So the actual name is Daniel. You know how we have Jibra'il, Mika'il, okay, Israfil, Isma'il, and Israel. Yaqub alayhi salam's name is Israel, is his name. Okay, we spoke about this last week. So over here, the actual name is Daniel. That's the actual name. Il means Allah. Il means Allah. Like they call the house of Allah, they call it Bayt Il. Like we say Baytullah, okay, the house of Allah. In Hebrew, it's Bayt Il. Bayt is the same. Bayt in Arabic, Bayt in Hebrew, Ibrani, the same. And Il is Allah. Okay, so Ismail, okay, Allah heard. Because Ibrahim a.s. was making the dua for so long for a child. And in his old age, he was granted a child. Thus, he named him Ismail, meaning Allah heard the dua. Allah listened to the dua and granted the child, Ismail. So we have Israel, Jibra'il. Okay, Il means Allah. Okay, so over here we have Daniel, that's the actual name. Dani means it means Allah, the Allah's decision, Allah's judgment, that's what it means. So this, he's the decision of Allah, of course, we are all as a result of the decision of Allah. So this is what it means, Qadallah, Allah decided, Allah ruled, Allah made a judgment. So this is the actual name, Daniel, and later on it became, in English we say Daniel, okay, that's how we pronounce it. And also in Arabic it's normally written as Daniel, Daniel. So the original is Daniel, but in Arabic, in English, it's not pronounced like that. We say Daniel in English, Daniel in Arabic. Can you keep that name? If somebody wants to keep that name for their child, is that permissible? Yes, of course it is. It's a name of a Nabi. It's a name of a prophet. One of our prophets, we believe, was Prophet Daniel alayhi salam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, "Sammu bi asma'il anbiya." When you're naming your children, name them after the name of prophets. When it comes to naming a child, we have different guidelines given to us. First of all, we find there is a hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Ahabbul asma'i ilallahi ta'ala Abdullah wa Abdul Rahman." The most beloved names to Allah are two, Abdullah and Abdul Rahman. These are the best names, the most beloved to Allah. If you want to choose a name that Allah loves the most, the hadith clearly categorically mentions two names, Abdullah, Abdul Rahman, most beloved names to Allah. Number two, the second hadith is this one, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, name your children after the names of prophets. Ibrahim, Ismail, Yaqub, Ayyub, Sulaiman, Dawood, Isa, Musa, Muhammad. These are all so many names. And we have over here, last week we spoke about Yusha. People don't keep this name, but it's a name of a prophet. Yusha, for example. Hizqil, it's a name of a Nabi. Over here, Daniel. If you keep the name Daniel, some people when they hear the name Daniel, they get, you know, think, oh, what kind of a name is this? It's an English name. No, it's not an English name. This is the name of a Nabi, alayhi salam, Prophet Daniel, alayhi salam. And like that, there are other names as well. So some we have in the Quran, and there are others that are not in the Quran. So This is another hadith mentioned by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam regarding naming after the prophets. In one hadith, he said to keep good names because on the day of judgment, you'll be called out by your name and by your father's name. So keep a good name. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also had a habit of changing names that had a bad meaning. If somebody had a name and it didn't have a good meaning, it gave off a bad meaning, he would change that name. Because a name has an effect on you. Name has an influence on you. A name is not just a name. Names have an impact on you. It's something that's with you for the rest of your life. People call you with it and you are influenced by the name that you have. So it's a right of a child that parents choose a good name. Nowadays, some people don't give much thought to it, and some people just want to be really different. They just want to be, so it's not about, okay, you want something that's not so popular, but there are many names of Sahaba, many names of the prophets are not popular, not common. Similarly, there are many names of Sahaba. It's good to name after someone who's pious, someone who did something good. It doesn't necessarily have to be a name like that. It should be, first of all, it needs to be a name. A name needs to be a name. There's no point calling somebody a thing or an item. And then some people have a habit of just opening the Quran and any word they see, they're going to name their child with that name. And that's not a correct thing to do. Just thinking, because like that, if you want a different name and a name that's in the Quran and somebody's never kept before, there's many names like that in the Quran. Fir'aun, Iblis, okay, Qarun. Okay, these are also in the Quran. I kept the name from the Quran. So it's not just about being different. It needs thought given to it. And I always say, this question always comes. Do you know these websites that you get about names and also books? I think a lot of times they just try to fill the pages with just all sorts of names. And a lot of the meanings given about them names are not even accurate. So don't always rely on that. Don't always rely on that. Choose a few names that you like, go to a scholar and ask them, are these names okay? You're going to choose, and it's the parent should choose the name, don't give it to somebody else to choose. Okay, it's such a great honor that you have to be able to choose your child's name, and you're just handing it over to somebody. Yeah, if both husband and wife both decide that we want somebody else, maybe a saintly person to choose the name, you know, a noble person or an elder, you both agree, then it's understandable. Otherwise, it doesn't make sense how somebody else is choosing my child's name and the wife or the husband either or doesn't have a say in it whatsoever. That's quite strange. I find that very weird. It's your child, but somebody else's. If both the parents agree for that to happen, then that's understandable. But somebody else just taking over that right that the parents have over a child, that's not Islamic. That's not something which is, you know, recommended. You don't find that anywhere. The parents have a right to keep their name as they wish. So these are some things that we should keep in mind. So in regards to keeping the name, yes, it's definitely permissible because it's one of the names of the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is what has been mentioned in regards to Prophet Daniel alayhi salam. Now I'm going to share with you something else which has been mentioned regarding Prophet Daniel alayhi salam. Again, this is one of those very different things which you've probably not heard before, or very rare kind of incidents. Again, it's not from the Quran, it's not from the Hadith, it's from the books of Tariq. And again, scholars have said that yes, this has been mentioned in Tariq, there's nothing that opposes it, so we take it as it is. And that is something that happened during the time of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And at the end, you'll understand why I'm mentioning it and what the link is to Prophet Daniel alayhi salam. So this has been mentioned in Dalailun Nubuwa, and Imam al-Bayhaqi also mentions the great Shafi'i scholar regarding this, Abu Nu'aym al-Isfahani and others. So the story is mentioned, Hisham ibn al-As al-Umawi, who was a Sahabi, radiallahu anhu, he was sent with some of the people by Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu to go to Herakl. Herakl, in English we say Heraclius, okay, the Roman emperor, to go to him to invite him to Islam. Remember, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam did send letters out. Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala followed these things up. He sent sahabas, ambassadors, as envoys to carry out this message and to invite them again and to call them to Islam. And when these people, they arrived, in Constantinople, remember, so they've come to Istanbul, which we call Istanbul today, in Constantinople, that was the center. And that is where Sahaba ideally wanted to reach during the time when they came to all of these lands where and they wanted to reach there, but they didn't end up reaching there to conquer it, because that was the center of the Byzantine emperor at the time. So when the Sahaba and the Tabi'een who were sent by Abu Bakr radiallahu anhum, when they arrived in the presence of Hiraql, well, before they came to Hiraql, some of the narrations mention that they were met by somebody wearing black, a black cloak, one of his men. And he said, basically, we don't want to talk to you, we're not interested in you. And they had this conversation, and it prolonged, and he said, why are you wearing this black kind of clothing? And he said, well, I'm not going to remove it until you've destroyed all of the Muslims. And this kind of discussion continued for some time, and he was refusing for them to have a chance to meet Hiraql. Eventually he gave them away after they said that, look, we're not going anywhere. You can try turning us away, but we want to speak to Hiraql. We're not going to speak to you. We want to speak directly to Heraclius. And then in the end, they were able to get entrance and access to Hiraql. Remember, this is the emperor, the Roman emperor, the emperor of Byzantium. When they've gone in there and they entered, they found that he was seated on a huge cushion on a throne. And the patriarch, meaning the highest priest of Rome, okay, of Rome, he was also present as well on one side. And they were wearing purple. They were all wearing red. They were wearing red. Everything was red. They say the carpets were red. Their clothing was red. The cushions were red. Everything they looked around the Sahaba said, everything was red in color. And so they met him there. They spoke for a while and they introduced themselves, who they were. Hiraql gives some of his own, and he asked some questions as well regarding Islam and regarding the practices that they do. And then he said, okay, I'll meet you now in the evening. So he gave them somewhere to stay. So there was a lodge, and within which there were many, many different kind of rooms. So that is where the next meeting was between the Sahaba and Heraclius in the evening. And this was, it was quite, a very well set up lodge. And when they come in there, Heraclius arrives. So Heraclius arrives, the Sahaba are there. And then Hiraql calls some of the people, the ministers, and asks them to bring out a huge chest. And they bring it out, and they place it, and they present it. And it's this huge thing, like a treasure chest. And the Sahaba say that in it, there were so many different compartments, like drawers, or like doors. You could open little compartments and drawers, and there were drawers inside. And it goes on to say that it was a cube-shaped, and there were many compartments. So Hiraql then started opening the compartments one by one. So he opened the first compartment, and he took out a black piece of silken cloth. So it was a huge cloth, and it was made of silk, black in color. And he laid it down in front of the Sahaba. And when he spread it out, the Sahaba were quite surprised to see. They saw an image on there, a picture on them, on the silken cloth, and it was red. So it was a face of a person, red in color, large eyes, long neck, no beard, long hair braided. And probably one of the best and most complete looking people that they'd ever seen. Very, very huge kind of in size. So Hiraql then said to the Sahaba, do you know who this is? They said, no, we've never seen this person before. So Hiraql said, this is Prophet Adam alayhi salam. This is an image of Prophet Adam alayhi salam. He wrapped it up again and put it into the compartment. Then he opened another compartment, and he takes out another piece of black silk. And this time the face is very fair and white in complexion. And the description of the eyes were given like cat's eyes. And a large head, handsome beard, big beard. Hiraql says, do you recognize this person, who this is? So we don't know who this is. Hiraql says, this is an image of Prophet Nuh alayhi salam. And then he took out another compartment, and in there was a black silken cloth as well. Again, there was a man with white complexion, beautiful eyes, long cheeks, smooth forehead, and he looked as if he was smiling. He said, "Do you know who this is?" They said, "We don't know who this is." Hiraqal said, "This is Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam." Then he took out and opened another compartment and took out a piece of cloth, and he placed this cloth in front of them. On this particular occasion, there's no detail in terms of the physical, how it looked. He just put it in front of them. And as soon as he put and he said, "Do you recognize this person?" And immediately the Sahaba started to cry. And he says, "Yes, we know who this is." He says, "Who is this?" He says, "This is our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." They began crying uncontrollably, and even Hiraqal left it for quite a while. He just stared at it for some time. And the Sahaba cried. They said, "You know, it's as if they were bringing us back memories. It's such a true image of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." And he says, "Is this definitely your Prophet?" And they said, "Yes, this is definitely our Prophet." And he kept it out. And he said, in all honesty, Hiraqal said, "This was actually the last compartment, but I kind of opened it quickly because I knew this would be of your interest. And I wanted to see what your reaction would be. Whereas this was the last compartment, I hastened to take this out because this is something that matters to you." Then he continued opening the other compartments. He opened another compartment, a black silken cloth. There was a person who was dark in complexion, and he had sunken eyes and overlapping teeth. And he said, "Do you know who this is?" They said, "No." He said, "This is Prophet Musa alayhi salam." And then next to him, there was another person who was on this cloth. He resembled Musa alayhi salam. However, the difference was that he had a wide forehead and the beard looked like he had oil applied on it. He said, "Do you know who this is?" They said, "No." And he said, "This is the brother of Musa, Prophet Harun alayhi salam." And then he went on to the next compartment. This time the cloth was white silk. And on the actual silk, there was a picture and an image of a person. He said, "Do you know who this is?" They said, "No." "This is Prophet Yaqub alayhi salam." The next compartment was opened, a black silken cloth, a white complexioned man, and had a beautiful posture, nur on his face, and reddish complexion. You could see humility and piety pouring from the face. He asked, "Do you know who this is?" They said, "No." And they were told that this is Prophet Ismail alayhi salam, the ancestor of your Prophet. Then Hiraqal took out another compartment. In there was a white piece of silk, and on there was an image of a person. His face was radiant like the sun. "Do you know who this is?" He says, "No." He said, "This is Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam." Then he took out another piece of cloth, a person who was holding a sword. "Do you know who this is?" He says, "No, this is Prophet Dawood alayhi salam." He took out another piece of cloth, somebody who was riding a horse. "Do you know who this is?" He says, "No." He was told this is Prophet Sulaiman alayhi salam. And then he took out a final piece of cloth. It was black silk and a picture of a young person with a black beard, long hair, beautiful eyes and a handsome face. "Do you know who this person is?" They said, "We don't recognize him." And said, "This is Prophet Jesus, Isa alayhi salam." Now, the Sahaba who were there, they said, "Oh Hiraqal, where did you get this from? Like, no one's ever heard of this before. Where did you get this chest? And where did you get all of these images from?" And Hiraqal responded that Prophet Adam alayhi salam, after he was created and he was told that in his progeny there are going to be many, many prophets, he made dua to Allah. He wanted to see these prophets. So Allah granted him this chest and all of these images. And this was then in the west, Maghrib al-Shams, where the sun sets. This is where Adam alayhi salam left this. And this was discovered later on by Dhulqarnain. And Dhulqarnain, when he took this, he handed this over to Prophet Daniel alayhi salam. And this is where we discovered it from, when we took over those lands. And he said that this will remain with me, meaning Hiraqal, until I die. I'm not going to give it to anybody. The Sahaba, when they returned back to Mecca, they told their story to Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, he confirmed this, and he said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam always told us that the Jews and the Christians have a lot of detail regarding the prophets and regarding the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he would always say that they know exactly how I look. They have details in their scriptures regarding the descriptions and the characteristics of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam always tell us, and the Quran says, "Alladhi yajidunahu maktuban 'indahum fit Tawrat wal Injil." That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam description, they used to find them written in the Torah, in the Injil, and in these other ways and forms. And the Quran says that when they would see the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, يَعْرِفُونَهُ كَمَا يَعْرِفُونَ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ. Imagine people who had seen such vivid images, when they would see the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, one is written description, but one is to see a vivid image like that, and then to see the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, you cannot be in doubt whatsoever. And Quran speaks about this concept, they would recognize the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam just like they would recognize their own child. So this is why I mentioned this long incident, to tell you that Prophet Daniel alayhi salam was also entrusted this chest, and this is how it came to Hiraql in the end. So this is what has been mentioned by Prophet Daniel alayhi salam, and the story of the lions and the ring that was found by the Sahabi. I've given you the detail. So as I said, the Sahaba buried him, and so that people wouldn't know where he is. Today there is a place known people to go and visit, but Allah knows best. We can't say with 100% conviction that that is definitely the place, because Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala didn't want anybody to actually find out. So this was the first prophet we were going to discuss today. The second prophet is Hizqil alayhi salam. Prophet Hizqil alayhi salam is one of the prophets of Bani Israel. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Baqarah, he mentions, أَلَمْ تَرَ إِلَى الَّذِينَ خَرَجُوا مِنْ دِيَارِهِمْ وَهُمْ أُلُوفٌ حَذَرَ الْمَوْتِ. Allah speaks about the Bani Israel, and he says, O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, have you not seen those people who left their town, who left their city in thousands? There were thousands in number. Why did they run away? Because they were fearing death. They thought death will overtake them. Thus they ran away. Now, there was a particular town, city, in the Bani Israel where a plague broke out. We're very used to it now with the virus. So imagine a virus breaking out, a pandemic. So what happens? People start dying. So people started to die. So the people of that village, that town, that city, they thought to themselves, if we stay here, we are also going to die as well. So let's run away from here. So they ran away from them. They ran away and hid somewhere. And everybody who stayed behind, they all died. So the people who ran away, they realized that that was a very good plan. We actually escaped death. We are very intelligent, we are very forward thinking. The people who stayed behind, they were backwards. Had they come with us, they would have escaped death as well. Can you escape death? Can you? Is it possible to escape death? No. But this was their way of thinking. They thought, because they made this plan and they ran away from there, they were able to escape death. So they said, if this ever happens again, then we should all go in large numbers and we should escape these areas so that we can save ourselves from death. So for a second time, the plague broke out. So there was this pandemic, a virus is spreading, people are falling ill. And it wasn't like nowadays where people become ill and sick and after so many days they are falling ill and then end up in hospital and some people eventually pass away. No, this was you fall sick and within moments you could pass away. Spreading very fast. So this time, thousands of people. Some narrations mention 40,000 people. Some mention 70,000 people. They all decided that we are going to escape death. Let's run away from the city. Let's leave the city because the plague and the pandemic is spreading. Let's go to a place of safety. So 70,000 people, they left this place. And they came in a valley where they thought they were safe. The virus hasn't come here, and it was between two mountains. So they came into this valley and said, we're safe here, we managed to escape death. immediately what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did, as the Quran is referencing, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent two angels. One came on one side of the valley, one came on the other side of the valley, and covered the whole area. Imagine 70,000 people, they think they're escaping death, they've come in the middle, and these angels, in a really loud voice, they screamed so loud, and they said, "Mutu, die." And in one moment, 70,000 people died. Quran says, أَلَمْ تَرَ إِلَى الَّذِينَ خَرَجُوا مِنْ دِيَارِهِمْ وَهُمْ أُلُوفٌ حَذَرَ الْمَوْتِ فَقَالَ لَهُمُ اللَّهُ مُوتُ. Allah says, "Oh Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, haven't you seen, don't you know the story of those people who are in their thousands and they tried to escape death and they run away from their city? And Allah said to them, die, and they all died. All of them, within one month, they thought they were very intelligent and they're escaping death. But Allah said death to them. The angel, the scream was so loud that it just caused all of them, within one moment. It wasn't like, you know, one's dying and the second, no. Within a moment, the sound and the scream was so powerful, just killed all of them off, instantly. Now imagine, thousands of people have died. And then their bodies start to rot, and they disintegrate, and the flesh, you know, it's just rotten away. And now it's just bones. Imagine 70,000 people, skulls and bones all over the place. After so much time had passed, there was a prophet from amongst the prophets of Allah who passed by this area. His name was Prophet Hizqil alayhi salam. He walked past this area and he saw all of these dead bodies. And he was wondering to himself, what's happened to these people? What happened to these people? And as he was thinking about this, and he stood in that place and just contemplated that there was a day when these were people who were living, and they're all dead. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent wahi to Hizqil alayhi salam, said, "Hizqil, do you want to see how I'm going to revive these people? Would you like to see? Because we believe that Allah will revive everybody on the Day of Judgment." So he says, "Do you want to see how I will revive them and give them life?" Hizqil alayhi salam said, "Yes." He was just wondering and contemplating. فَقِيلَ لَهُ نَادِي. So Allah told Hizqil alayhi salam, "Call out to the people. Call out to the people, call out to the bones." So he called out to the bones, "Ya ayyatuhal idham, O bones, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ أَن تَجْتَمِعِي. Allah commands you to assemble." When he called out to the bones, just the bones at the moment, "O bones, Allah commands you to assemble." When he called out to the bones of all of these 70,000 people started to restructure themselves. So the skull and the rest of the skeleton all begins to rescore. In fact, he's seeing this. And then Allah sent him wahi and told him, "Now call out, Ya ayyatuhal idham, O bones, inna Allah ya'muruk an taktasi lahama. Allah commands you now that the flesh should cover the bones." So now in front of his eyes, thousands of skeletons now are being covered with flesh. And then he is told to shout out, "Ya ayyatuhal ajasad, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكْ أَن تَقُومِ فَقَامُ." Allah commands you to stand. And when they stood, Allah clothed them with the same clothing that they died in. So in front of his eyes, these people who had died, who had perished, who had rotten away and totally disintegrated, Allah recollected the bones and then covered them with flesh and then made them stand. And then dressed them with the same clothing that they were wearing when they died. And then Allah gave them life. Quran speaks about this. أَلَمْ تَرَ إِلَى الَّذِينَ خَرَجُوا مِنْ دِيَارِهِمْ وَهُمْ أُلُوفٌ حَذَرَ الْمَوْتِ فَقَالَ لَهُمُ اللَّهُ مُوتُ ثُمَّ أَحْيَاهُمْ Allah gave them life again. Allah gave them life again, and when they were revived, they woke up, they'd been dead for so long, Allah gave them life. All of them then said, Subhanak Allahumma wa bihamdik, la ilaha illa ant. And they went back to their original cities. They went back to their original cities. They knew that they had died. They had tasted death, and they could, the effects of death was on their faces. And they lived in this manner until they completed the amount of time that Allah had written for them, and they then passed away. Now, regarding how long Hizqeel alayhi salam stays, we don't know. Ibn Kathir rahimahullah mentions there is no further detail mentioned regarding Hizqeel alayhi salam. What we do know is that eventually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused him to pass away. And after he passed away, the Bani Israel became corrupt once again. They started worshipping idols, and they started disobeying Allah. They even created an idol called Baal, and started worshipping this idol. Allah sent another prophet, Ilyas alayhi salam, or Ilyas bin Yasin. Quran mentions Ilyasin. Okay, so this could be two prophets, Ilyas and Yasin, or it could be Ilyas bin Yasin. So this was also another prophet that was sent to the Bani Israel. Again, we don't have much detail in regards to these prophets, but the Quran does make reference to them. And he invited the people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he also then passed away. Allah sent another prophet to them who reminded them, who warned them, who informed them about the rewards and the punishments of Allah. But despite this, they would disobey the prophets. There is also a narration mentioned that on one occasion, they opposed their prophet so much that they threatened to kill him. And this didn't happen just on one occasion. The Quran mentions regarding the Bani Israel that they very often they killed their prophets. They killed hundreds of prophets. There's a narration mentioned where they chased the prophet, and the prophet went and hid behind the tree. And they found this prophet, and they cut the tree in half, as a result of which they even cut and sawed the prophet in half. Many prophets, they stood in a line and they skinned them alive, and they would kill them. And Quran makes reference to them, to this, that you killed many, many prophets. And as a result of which, they faced the wrath and the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And أَفَكُلَّمَا جَاءَكُمْ, Quran says, أَفَكُلَّمَا جَاءَكُمْ, addressing the Bani Israel, أَفَكُلَّمَا جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ بِمَا لَا تَهْوَى أَنفُسُكُمْ إِسْتَكْبَرْتُمْ فَرِيقًا كَذَّبْتُمْ وَفَرِيقًا تَقْتُلُونَ. Now, O Bani Israel, every time a prophet comes to you and you dislike what he says to you, it goes against your desires, you become very arrogant, and a group of you disbelieve in the prophet, and a group of you go and kill the prophet. You attack and murder the prophet. And there is no greater sin than murdering and killing a prophet. As a result of which they earn the wrath and the anger of Allah. We perform our salah every single day. We say, Khayril maghdubi alayhim. O Allah, do not make us like those people who earned your anger. Why did they earn the anger? Because they knew the truth. They knew the reality. They changed the book of Allah. They killed the prophets, they inconvenienced the prophets, and intentionally, despite knowing what the, what is a person doesn't know? A person is ignorant, a person is unaware, a person makes a mistake. No, this was intentionally, with intention, knowingly, they went against the teaching, despite knowing this is right, this is wrong. And they went as far as killing the prophets of Allah, slandering them, swearing at them, speaking ill of them. Not one prophet, many, many, many prophets. Who killed Yahya alayhi salam, the Bani Israel? Who killed Zakariya alayhi salam, the Bani Israel? Who slandered Maryam alayhi salam, the Bani Israel? Who tried to assassinate Isa alayhi salam, the Bani Israel? Allah lifted him up to the heavens. okay, who on many occasions tried to kill and assassinate and poison the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Again, the same. So this is where this comes from. We make dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes us amongst those who follow the way of the Prophets. May Allah safeguard us from his anger. May Allah safeguard us from becoming astray. May Allah always keep us on Sirat al-Mustaqim. With this, we end today's session. Insha'Allah, next week, we will start speaking about Prophet داود عليه السلام وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين سبحان الله وبحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك